Reading the Cincinnati Inquirer newspaper after church last Sunday, that was the 12th, I came upon an article entitled, What to Know About Juneteenth. I began to read the first couple paragraphs. Juneteenth, the oldest known celebration of the end of slavery in the United States, is observed every year on June 19th. Americans will recognize the holiday on a Sunday in 2022, and that's why the holiday went over to Monday. It is celebrated on June 19th because that is the day the news of the Emancipation Proclamation reached the enslaved people in Galveston, Texas in 1865. President Joe Biden signed legislation established June 10th as a federal holiday in 2021. Anything that man does, I have a suspect. It is the first new federal holiday established since Martin Luther King Jr.'s, well, it's Michael King, birthday was approved in 1983. On June 19, 1865, Major General Gordon Granger and Union soldiers arrived in Galveston, Texas. With them, they brought news that the American Civil War had ended and enslaved people were now free. It took 2.5 years for the news to spread to the Lone Star State after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation became official on January 1, 1863. The 13th Amendment, ratified in 1865, freed enslaved people throughout the country. That statement there disagreed with the first statement in the article. The Senate unanimously approved a bill that made Juneteenth a legal public holiday. The House passed the bill by a wide margin the next day with 14 Republicans opposed. Guess who opposed it? Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie and 13 others voted against it. The entire Senate passed it, every senator. And President Biden signed the bill into law. Here's the flag of Juneteenth. That represents Texas. Got this thing right here. That's supposed to be blue, red, white, and blue. Juneteenth does not represent the end of black chattel slavery in America, as is often erroneously reported. It specifically notes the end of slavery in Texas. I found this. Carl Mack, a black historian and former president of the Seattle King County NAACP, says, quote, Juneteenth is historically inaccurate. And I think this holiday is insulting to us as a people. That's a pretty good quote from Black Guy. He says that it's incorrect because the bill states that the date of June 19th ended chattel slavery. There are two things that this bill teaches. Number one, that the slaves in Galveston, Texas were the last slaves that were freed. And two, that they got the word that the Emancipation Proclamation 2.5 years late. Both things are historically incorrect. Slavery ended 6 months after Juneteenth in America. And this is the black guy talking. In the Emancipation Proclamation, Lincoln said that slaves who lived in the rebellion states were freed. He only mentioned 10 of the 11 states because Tennessee was controlled by the Union at this time. There were 10 other states that had succeeded and joined a new nation, the Confederate States of America. They had a president, Jefferson Davis, a vice president, Congress. They had made laws and so forth. It was not a civil war. It was two nations fighting each other, and he's absolutely correct. It wasn't a civil war. Civil war, you got two people of the same nation fighting. But there were four border states. Maryland, Kentucky, we were a border state. Delaware and Missouri. West Virginia split off from Virginia and became a fifth border state after the war. The war ended on April the 9th, 1865. Kentucky and Delaware were the only two border states that had not ended slavery on June 19th, 1865. Their slaves did not taste freedom until December 6th, 1865, when Georgia became the 27th state to ratify the 13th Amendment. That is when slavery ended in the United States, at least legally. Delaware didn't ratify the 13th Amendment until 1901. Kentucky didn't ratify the 13th Amendment until 1976. And Mississippi ratified the 13th Amendment in 2013. Mr. Mack, that's the black guy, asked a pertinent question. How could Abraham Lincoln free the slaves of another country? It wasn't a civil war. It was a war between two different nations. The South had formed a new nation. Then in last Friday's edition of the Inquirer, I found another article on this new holiday that quoted, that should be Chris Miller, the Senior Director of Education and Community Engagement at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center in Cincinnati, another black guy. He is quoted as saying, quote, "When the Emancipation Proclamation was drafted, we were in a time of war, a war between two countries, not a war within one country." Often, I don't think it's framed in that way, but that is the most truthful, accurate account of what was taking place. In an interest twist, while slavery was made illegal in Confederate states by the proclamation, it still was technically legal in the Union. Lincoln pronounced the end of slavery in the nation that he was fighting. He didn't do it in his own nation. And why would it take 2.5 years for the news to get to Texas? Where were they? When they crawled there? I don't know what happened. The Confederate States of America paid no attention to his declaration. And how, Mr. Mack asked, could Juneteenth be the end of slavery when there were over 225,000 slaves in Delaware and Kentucky? Kentucky was the last state to free their slaves. Here are some other questions that are not addressed. Was every black person a slave? There were almost 700,000 slaves in the United States in 1790, which equated to approximately 18% of the total population, or roughly 1 in 6 people. By 1860, the final census taken before the war between the two nations, there were 4 million slaves in the South, compared with a little bit less than 500,000 free African Americans in all the United States. That means that 1 in 8 black Americans were free in 1860. Did any blacks own slaves? Well, the first slaveholder was black. Astonishing, in 1860, there existed at least 6 Negroes living in Louisiana who owned 65 or more slaves. Among them, C. Richards and P. C. Richards owned 152 of their black brethren as slaves to work their sugarcane plantation. A similarly impressive Louisiana free Negro, Antoine Duplessis, owned in excess of 100 dark-skinned black slaves. He was also in the sugar business, and boasts the state estimated to be worth, at $1,860, $264,000. To put his wealth in context, the Bean calculation of wealth for Southern white men at that time averaged $3,978. Here's an interesting chart. Which U.S. states had the most slaves at the start of the Civil War? Virginia tops the list, almost 500,000. Georgia's second in the 400,000s. Mississippi, 400,000. Alabama, 400,000. South Carolina, 400,000. Louisiana, 300,000. North Carolina, 300,000. Tennessee, 275,000. Now, all those in yellow are Confederate states. Kentucky was a border state. 225,483 slaves. Then another Confederate state, 182,000. Missouri, a border state, 114,000. Arkansas, 111,000. Maryland, 87. Florida, 67. Delaware, a little bit less than 2,000. New Jersey, Nebraska, and Kansas. The yellow Confederate states, the greener border states, and then the Union are left blank. There were 11 states seceded from the United States to form the Confederate States of America. They were Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Arkansas, and Tennessee. That was the Confederate States of America. This new holiday is celebrated along with the Marxist-backed Black Lives Matter organization, Marxist, Communist. It is on par with Martin Luther King II Day. It's a communist holiday. I will observe neither one. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.